Hello, hello, I'm Matt Williams, and this is the Locked On NFL Podcast. We are brought to you by Draft. I will tell you more about them in a moment, a pretty cool thing going on with them. And as every Wednesday is the case, we have Mike Renner here. Mike, what is shaking with you, brother?
Not much, just getting towards the end of the season here, looking forward to the playoffs, I'll say.
Yeah, it seems like it's getting to that point. A lot of big games between now and then. Especially in the NFC. You know, the NFC is really interesting to me because not only is it the more competitive, the better side, you know, I mean, the deeper side, but not by any design, a lot of the best teams are playing each other. We've seen that especially last week, you know, that it's not like Steelers-Patriots where they were both one seeds, we knew they were going to play and be a big game. You know, the Eagles weren't a high seed, the Rams, a lot of these teams. So we got a lot of good contests coming up between them, and I've seen a few too.
Yeah, it should be fun down the stretch. Like I said, the home field in the NFC is going to be, I think, so important. I think whoever ends up getting that is that who ends up going to the Super Bowl. So it's a lot to play for here down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Mike's been working on lately is breaking down the NFC division leaders. And before we get there, the one thing I want to bring up to you, and I don't know that we know these answers, but I feel like the Eagles losing in Seattle, the Rams losing in Minnesota, were great examples for upstart teams, young quarterbacks, new coaches in LA of this is what you got to do to be a playoff team. You know, like the ante is up now.
Yeah, it was almost good in a way.
Right.
They lost those games. You know, you get to learn from that and, you know, not make the same mistakes or not, you know, you get that sort of playoff atmosphere, the fact that you know it's a team you could face somewhere again down the line. And now you know what it takes. You know, you can't make silly mistakes like fumbling at the goal line. You can't do things like that and still expect to win games in the playoffs. So I think it's almost a good thing. Obviously, you'd like it for the standings to be to not lose those games, but now it's something to learn from for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you sat down with Wentz and Goff and said, you know, hey, Carson, you probably thought you were ready for a primetime game in Seattle late in the year, but I bet it was a little more than you thought.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and you can't simulate that atmosphere. Early season game, just it's not the same as what it's going to be like in the playoffs. So I think they'll be ready though. Goff and Wentz come playoff time. I think they'll bring their A game. I don't think we'll see them crumble under the pressure.
I agree. So let's start in the NFC East. Before we talk about division leaders and playoffs and all those things, do you have any take on going back to Eli or McAdoo and the GM getting fired? Any thoughts on that necessarily? I mean, we all knew Ben was out, but what do you think?
It looks like a joke at this point.
Right.
It's like, why? Someone should have stepped in somewhere along the line and said, no, we're not gonna bench Eli Manning for two guys, you know, or a guy in Geno Smith, where there's zero chance we're gonna, even if he plays, you know, has some fairly good games, we're not gonna use him as our starter heading into next season. So at that point, it made no sense. Do it in the offseason. Do it the right way. It's a joke at this point.
And I know it's minor and it's a little petty, but, oh, by the way, you just destroy the guy's starting streak, you know, for one game for no good reason, for stupidness. I mean, I don't, those kind of things bother me.
Yeah. The thing is, though, was he getting to Favre? There's zero chance he gets to Favre. So
true.
At the end of the day, you don't do your vets like that. You don't do a guy like Eli Manning who brought you two Super Bowls like that.
Exactly. So what have you been doing with division leaders? And let's talk NFC East. We obviously know who's winning that division.
Yeah, so I broke down for the Washington Post earlier this week. The Eagles, Rams, Vikings, Saints, all nine or ten wins, all of them. And just who I thought, you know, had the best quarterback, weapons, offensive line, front seven, and secondary. And so I'll just go through. And quarterback, I went with the Saints having the best quarterback. I don't know how you feel about that at the moment.
So who were the
Carson
teams?
Wentz, the way he is.
There's only four teams in this.
So
battle,
just those
then,
four
right?
teams. Yeah, who has the best of those? So I went with Drew Brees for the Saints. being the best the quarterback I'd take down the stretch.
Minnesota and L.A. was the last one in the West?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's earned that. I mean, he's obviously the only clear Hall of Famer. I would say Wentz is having the better year.
Yeah, I'd say Wentz is he's definitely having a great year. I would say I'd put them about on par in terms of the year they're having. It's just that Drew Brees hasn't been slinging around the yard and getting the TD numbers that Wentz has in terms of everything else, accuracy, yards per attempt. You know, Drew Brees bests him basically every category except for touchdowns. And Drew Brees, I would just trust him to be more consistent at this point from what we've seen from Wentz. That Seahawks game was just not his best football.
Sure. I mean, the age factor and the experience, and he's a Hall of Famer, and it's hard to argue Drew Brees. Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. I'm on board with that.
All right, for weapons, I went with the Rams at this point. I think this one was probably the hardest debate in my point because the Vikings have the receivers, the Saints have the running backs, but I think the Rams have the best combination of running backs, receivers, and then some guys at tight end who have some pretty good athleticism as well.
Yes, I would think the Saints are in the conversation. I actually just wrote an article saying I think this is, you know, I would rather have Ingram and Kamara than Lev Bell or Elliott or David Johnson.
No, that combo is tough to argue against. Right. That was the thing. So it's hard to, it was very hard to choose because, like I said, I'd rather have the Vikings receivers than any other receiving core here. Any other receiving core in the NFL at this point, the way they're playing. So it's just, that was a very tough one to decide on.
And Michael Thomas isn't a joke. You know, I mean, he's certainly in the Saints' favor. It's funny, though, I guess the Eagles are last.
Yeah, the Eagles are last, and it's like, Jay Ajayi is nothing to sneeze at running back, and then Alshon Jeffrey at wide receiver and Zach Ertz. That's still a good one, but it's like it's really those weapons in between those four teams are all very very high level. That's part of the reason why they're doing so well, all of them offensively.
Just thinking about it off the top of my head, I would assume the Rams would be second at running back, have to be, you know, and
yeah,
sort of close to the, I mean, closer to one than they are three. And their receivers are awfully good, especially if Woods is healthy. I'm curious your take on Watkins because, like, for fantasy reasons, he's frustrated me because when you watch him on tape, especially coach's tape, I think he looks as good as ever. They just don't go his way that much.
I was going to say, that's my thing. It's like, I don't think Watkins is really taking a step back. He's still getting separation when I watch him. It's just that offense spreads it out so well that there's not like a number one receiver. You know, they're not featuring anybody really in that offense. So, like, he's still, like, that's what makes them so dangerous, basically, is my thing, is that they can go to all five of those guys that they send out on the field at any point in time, and that's why they're, you know, winning games.
And I felt like when Woods was healthy that if those guys lined up on the opposite side of the field, they wanted a lot of half-field reads for Goff that he never even came back to Sammy at times.
That's the thing. It's like they really haven't used, even though Sammy's been, you know, like I said, when he's targeted and when he's getting open, they just haven't used him in that number one receiver capacity.
Agreed. Was offensive line the next category?
Offensive line the next category. Put a caveat, if Jason Peters was still healthy, it would have been the Eagles. They were so dominant with him. I think that's a sort of an underrated injury for them down the stretch. But I went with the Saints at number one for offensive line. Like I said, Eagles would be a close second. And the Rams' offensive line's been a lot better than it was a season ago. They're in the mix, but I think they're a comfortable third at this point.
Yes, but I would say the Saints and Eagles have had good lines for a while, but I would say all four of them are probably better than I expected.
Yes, I would agree. Well, we put the Eagles as the number one offensive line heading into the season, so
okay.
We thought they'd be good because of that we saw that coming. But the Saints have outplayed my expectations. Like Ramczyk, right away, I did not see him being as good as he has been. The Rams, especially, I think Andrew Whitworth has done wonders for that offensive line. And then the Vikings, obviously, like they had additions, but they had additions last year, you know, in 2016, and it didn't work out. These guys that they all signed, you know, Riley Reiff, Mike Remmers, they're actually working out for them. So that's been good to see. And like I said, that offensive line much improved the Vikings. So they're all, you know, I'd say average to above offensive lines.
I don't know if you remember and I don't recall, but do you know where Pro Football Focus had the Vikings in 2016? Because in my opinion, especially the, you know, when the losing streak or when the winning streak ended and the injuries sat in, that was the worst line in football to me. So to get back to okay,
end
huge.
Of season,
yes,
I think they were 31st.
Wow, they were... okay, I can't think who's worse, but I mean,
it might have been the Seahawks were worse.
I guess that's in the conversation. The Chargers are bad. I mean, the Rams were bad.
Oh yeah, Chargers too.
Hey, I mentioned before that we are brought to you by Draft, and every Wednesday across the Locked On Network, we have been talking about this new partnership we have with Draft, this new sponsor, and it's a really cool deal because a lot of you have done snake drafts with your fantasy leagues, and probably a lot of you are out of your fantasy leagues by now. A lot of you have done daily fantasy and keeping that up, but it's not as much fun as actually doing a draft. Well, Draft combines the two of them where you can do a weekly snake draft, and if you use our promo code Locked On, you save a couple bucks on it as well. You can build drafts, and you can actually, something I need to set up with you guys is have a draft set up with between me and you guys, the listeners. So fantasy football fans, you got to listen up here. It's not too late to join the half a million people that have already downloaded the app Draft this season. You get to play a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for this week right now. I mean, they're up and running all the time. Only takes you 5 minutes. The best part is you play for cold hard cash and get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on salary cap daily sites. So all new players get a free entry into the real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. I mentioned before it was Locked On. It is not. It's LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love that they're even offering a couple listeners money back guarantees for up to $100. So go to the App Store and search for Draft, and or go to draft.com and come play free right now with our promo code LONFL. All right, Mike. So let's talk defense.
Okay. All right. So I just did front seven and secondary. Front seven, this one was another tough one because Rams, you have Aaron Donald, who by himself, is a front seven. You have the Vikings, who, Linval Joseph, there's just so much, Anthony Barr, so much high-level talent that's in that front seven. But the Eagles, that front four to me, the best front four in football. I rank them number one. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, and then whether it be Vinnie Curry or Derek Barnett or even Chris Long, they just didn't get after quarterbacks. I know they didn't do it against Seahawks somehow. That amazed me that the Seahawks, that Russell Wilson was under more pressure. But that front four is still... I think in terms of they can stop the run and the pass. They don't need to blitz if they don't want to. I think they're the best front seven in the NFL, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing this right off the top of my head as we talk, and I think that would have been my vote as well. And you mentioned, I mean, it's the best front four in the league, but really it's the best front seven or eight. I mean, they're almost like Bama or one of these big, or LSU, that are these great schools that can recruit defensive linemen, just keep bringing them in waves.
Yeah, it's like I said, they go six deep on that D-line of guys who can, above average players, which few in the NFL can say that.
So do you agree that the Saints front seven is a distant fourth?
Yes, I think so at this point, especially after the Alex Okafor injury. They really don't have the horses up front. I like what Sheldon Rankins has done in year two. He's much improved. Cameron Jordan, obviously, is Cameron Jordan. He's perennially underrated because, like I said, the lack of talent along that defensive front. He just gets these double teams, but he can play the run and pass as well as almost any edge defender in the NFL. But then their linebackers are very much an issue. So I think they're a pretty distant fourth at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And if you were to break them down into defensive line, I think we both agreed that the Eagles were one. But if you had to do just linebackers, would it be the Vikes?
Yeah, I'd probably put the Vikings number one if it was just linebackers. But it's like linebackers so impact the game so little, in my opinion, by far the least valuable position on an NFL football field. So they are very good, though. Anthony Barr and Kendricks both can ball. So I'd put them number one, but I don't think the Eagles are terribly far behind with Jordan Hicks being out. I do like Kendricks, he got toasted on that slant and go, but he's usually pretty sound in underneath coverage and wrapping up stuff like that, as well as Bradham.
Yeah, I think Barr's having a much better year than he did a year ago, and I'm 100% with you. I mean, if I'm a GM building a team, my resources are going in the defensive lineman.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would like. I've had this take before. I don't think you draft anything besides D-line, corners, wide receivers, tackles, and quarterbacks in the first round. That's the only position I'm targeting, because every other position, it just doesn't have the value.
Yeah, I hear you. I wouldn't be as strict as you about that, and maybe that'd be a topic for another day. It sounds like it. Yeah, I mean, if there was a stud safety, I could jump on. You know, I mean, I watch Sean Taylor at the U, or you know, those type of guys. But maybe we'll talk about that some down the road. Speaking of defensive backs, who is the king of these four?
Defensive back. So I think this one was the easiest one to go. This one to me was the most obvious, and it's the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Xavier Rhodes, Terrence Newman, it's the best cornerback duo. And I think they might even have the best safeties too. Harrison Smith, probably the best safety, most complete safety in football right now in terms of what he does for the Vikings. And Sendejo's not terrible, but good enough to where it rounds out that secondary. I think it's clearly them. Maybe the best in the NFL.
That's what I was about to say. I mean,
after the Jaguars, I'd say.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're playing better than Denver's right now. Seattle's is banged up. Jimmy Smith just got hurt in Baltimore. I think I would take Jacksonville first, but I probably would take the Vikings second without doing a lot of research on it.
Yeah, I agree. It just, when you have two corners and a safety like that, it's tough to beat. And the results speak for themselves, obviously.
What are your thoughts on the Rams secondary? I mean, very few big names. I bet a lot of people out there can't even tell you who their starters are.
Yeah, so they've been good. A lot of it is because they also have a very good pass rush. I think that's helped them throughout the years. But LaMarcus Joyner is playing out of his mind this season. And Trumaine Johnson, he's just steady. I think they're overpaying him a little bit, but he's good. I would probably put them. So if I had to go for the second team, I would probably go the Saints, just because when Marshawn Lattimore is healthy, what a number one corner does for a defense is a huge impact.
Yeah.
Even though their safeties are a little bit of an issue, the other cornerback, Ken Crawley, is fine, nothing special, but he's just that impactful in what he brings to the table. But then I'd probably still take the Rams secondary over the Eagles.
I think the Eagles are pretty decent, though. I mean, I do like their safeties a lot. They have I guess I can't put any faith or any stock in this conversation in Sidney Jones, but I loved him coming out of school. I mean, so maybe he doesn't count yet. So,
yeah.
I hear you. Xavier Rhodes or Lattimore?
Oof. You're putting me on the spot because I love Lattimore. Like I've said it, I think I still go Lattimore because, one, I had, you know, a higher grade coming out from college. To me, Lattimore was, he was as good as Jalen Ramsey coming out. He was everything that I didn't see any, I mean, there are obviously flaws in his game. He obviously got beaten sometimes, but he was as complete a corner as I saw coming out of college. And I think he's proved it this year one in the NFL. Now with the injury issues, maybe a little bit of a concern. He was banged up at Ohio State, already banged up here with the Saints, but man, he can do it all. You know, press man, off coverage, he's fantastic. Rhodes, amazing in his own right, very physical. I just don't see him. He just doesn't have the high level, you know, traits that I see out of Lattimore.
Yeah, I think you can make a strong case for either. And you're kind of like you implied. Second best safety of these groups behind Harrison Smith. Jenkins?
Yeah, that's who I would go with just off the top of my head. Let me think a little bit more. Yeah, probably Malcolm Jenkins. He's just been very good. And it's sort of a Swiss Army type safety where they put him in the slot, bring him down in the box. So he does a lot of things for that Eagles defense that just tough to replace. So yeah, I'd probably take him number two.
Yeah, and people don't remember. I mean, he was a first round corner coming out.
Yeah, and he had some bad years with the Saints too. He looked washed. That's why the Eagles got him for as cheap as they did. And really reinvented his game in Philadelphia.
All right, before you go, we were talking NFC top dogs, and there's a good one on Thursday night. Like we mentioned to start the show, a lot of these best teams in the NFC are squaring off. what's your thumbnail sketch, your hunch of Saints at Falcons? I mean, I almost feel like Falcons better get this one.
Yeah, it almost, yeah, it does seem like a must win, especially with the Falcons schedule down the stretch. I still say, though, my verdict when I went on the all four teams and went through their, like I said, the position groups, I came up to a verdict that I think the Saints were the toughest. The Saints get home field advantage. I think they are by far the favorites to make the Super Bowl just because of what they have offensively. And like I said, the Marshawn Lattimore thing, it's a tough team to beat at this point, and they can beat you in a lot of different ways. So my heart says the Saints. They're obviously going to travel on the road. That's tough, you know, tough place to play in Atlanta, but I still think the Saints is the clear better side in this one, especially since the Falcons offense was kind of fool's gold. Those three games coming back against Minnesota did not have near the showing I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, and to go back to our defensive back conversation, last week Xavier Rhodes, with help obviously, eliminated Julio. The week before that, Julio went for like 250 or whatever. Is Lattimore playing? I'm not sure off the top of my head at Wednesday at noon if he's, how healthy is he? And I think that could be a real key in this one.
I think I saw yesterday that they said he was going to be ready. I'm not sure if he's fully healthy. It didn't seem like that bad of an ankle injury that it would really limit him. So hopefully he plays. Really would love to see him track. That would be a great.
That'd be a blast. Yeah,
that'd be fun to watch. So.
And your thumbnail take of that division, do you think Carolina is the second best team, the third best team? Is Tampa a nightmare? Are they savable for next year?
Tampa's, I feel like they're going to blow it up to some degree because you can't take that far of regression after adding pieces, you know, after on paper looking like you should be better. So that's a bad look for them. I think they are salvageable. There's still talent on that roster. It's just defensively something needs to change. I would still take the Falcons roster right now over the Panthers. The Panthers obviously getting better results, but I think the Falcons are the second best team in that division. But it's hard to argue. The Panthers just seem to do it every year defensively. Maybe it's just Luke Kuechly. Maybe it's Kuechly and Davis. I don't know what it is, but they seem to get just great results out of that defense year in and year out. With what that secondary just doesn't seem like a secondary built to be as good a pass defense as they are. So maybe I'm just a little biased in that I don't really see it there, but I think I'd still take the Falcons as second best team in this division.
Yeah, I'm torn. All right, last question, I'm going to let you go. If we included the Carolina front seven in your study, would they beat the Eagles? The linebackers are crazy.
That's good. I was going to say, it's tough because you're splitting it in terms of one's the amazing D-line, one's the amazing best linebacker core in the NFL. I'd still
K-1
lean
Short's
towards...
K-1 Short's not a joke.
Yeah, K-1 Short's good. Addison's good. Pepper's having a fairly solid season at his age. It's not like they have a bad defensive line by any means. I still just give me that elite defensive line, though. Yeah. You can do so much with it, and it impacts a lot of different areas of that defense. So I'll take the Eagles still.
Just because you're weighing the big men more than the linebackers.
Yes, yes.
Makes sense. Good stuff as always, brother. This was fun.
Yep, thanks so much, Matt.
All right, man. Take care.